It's lovely to have such rousing music on this occasion. It's a wonderful gift. Good morning, Gordon. Good to see you. Hi. Let's light this candle, just a reminder that whenever two or three gather together in the name of Jesus, he is here with us. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your promise to be present in the gathering of your people. Pray that you would still our hearts and our minds to know that you're here and to enjoy being in your presence. Amen. Amen. Who, like me, thought, here we go again. Here we go again. But what was said a little while ago, rightly, you have not been this way before, is now not quite so true, is it? And we are better equipped for lockdown. It's not a nice phrase, that is it? Restrictions. And it's going to be different. It will be a different time. And we remember people like Claire and Angela and others who are going to be at school, and that's going to be, so we bless you, Claire and Angela, and all those involved in work situations that are keeping going. It will be different again. But our hope is in the Lord. Just a couple of notices before we turn to some encouraging words of Scripture. And that is, next week, what we did before was we were open for private prayer on Sunday and a couple of times during the week. And so what we'll do, we'll start next Sunday being open for prayer on Sunday at 10:30. We'll turn certain chairs around so it's quite clear where you can sit and so on. So there's an opportunity to come into a place set aside for worship, particularly as next Sunday is Remembrance Sunday. And I'm mindful that it's a very special day, an important day for so many. And coming somewhere outside your own home may be a helpful thing. So we'll be open for private prayer next Sunday at 10:30, probably just for an hour. And what I would encourage you to do is, if you have a particular story about a person that you remember on Remembrance Sunday, can you let me know? Because it would be good as part of the service that we put together to have stories of real people. Because for many of us, being such a young person that I am, I have really no connection with anybody personally who's been involved in giving their lives for others that we remember on Remembrance Sunday. And so, and there are many younger than me around. And so it would be good if there's someone particularly that you think of as a special person to you that you remember on Remembrance Sunday, do let me know. Either give me a call or send me an email, whatever. The other thing is, today we have a wonderful celebration of Wilf Archer's painting gift that God gave him, and a few of Sheila as well. Wilf died earlier in this year, and he's one of a number of people of our church family, or connected to our church family, who have died, and for whom there hasn't been an opportunity as a church family to come together and remember and mourn and celebrate. And so this service is one thing we can do. And it's lovely to have Kate and Jim here with us. And as you leave, if you head for the sound sort of computer desk that's in the CrossLink Centre, and then go clockwise round and then leave the building, that way we'll be able to see them and keep ourselves socially distant. So go into the CrossLink Centre, far side, go around. Have a look. There is an opportunity if you'd like to have them. give a gift to the church. Jimmy, the family, very kindly said, any gifts given for the paintings will go to the church. So Leslie and I have already had a couple, and I know Wayne's got a couple, and it's good. It's good that the blessings are shared around. So thank you very much for your offer, and it's lovely. The other thing is, I have to say, this person is not asleep in Christ yet, but is a real inspiration, and who knows how long we have her for. But I just want to remember to you, because she asked me to remember her to you, Renee Hutchings. Josie always says that when she visits Renee, she leaves greatly blessed, and she wasn't sure who was blessing who. And I phoned her to bless her, and I end up coming off the phone blessed by her. The lady who just is at home, has to be looked after by everybody else, but whose faith is alive, and she's a member of the church. So we thank God that she's still here, because others aren't. And I just share her blessing to you. So be blessed by Renee. Those of you who've never you might have seen her in the directory, but she's a precious sister. In the church today, in the church calendar, it's All Saints Day. And I don't know whether you've ever celebrated All Saints Day before. Some of you will have, particularly if you've come from an Anglican background. But many of us haven't celebrated All Saints Day in a Baptist church. The Bible makes it clear that it is God alone who creates saints. The word means holy ones. Saints are all those ordinary people of all ages who've been forgiven of their sins, washed, made clean by the blood of Christ. And so we are here, those who've put their trust in Jesus, saints, gathered together. And listening to this recording, there will be scattered saints. And that's why our service is always a service for scattered and gathered saints. And today, we remember those saints who have gone before us, who we no longer see, who we miss, and who we hope to see again. Psalm 30 says this: sing to the Lord, you saints of him. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. At this time of darkness, particularly think about all that goes on yesterday on Halloween and so on, we have a light. Christ, be our light. And this is our first song of worship. Feel free to sit, to stand, to hum, to speak the words out. And as the song finishes, we'll have that time of quiet. And if you want to give praise to God in that time, do. Christ be our light. Many of the gifts, many of the people, many of the hearts that yearn to belong. Let us be servants to one another, making your kingdom come. Christ be our light. Shine in our hearts. Shine through the darkness. Christ be our light. Shine in your church. Gather today. Amen. Amen. Jackie's going to bring up now our offering. Thank you so much for what you have given to the Lord, for his work, to enable the light to keep shining. And we bring our offering here. Thank you. And it's falling off the plate, which is great. It's lovely. It's generosity, isn't it? Doesn't that a cup runneth over? Isn't that what the picture is? So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the abundance of your provision. We thank you for your word that says, I will bless you so that you can be generous on every occasion. We thank you for the generosity of your people. And we pray that these gifts will be multiplied, that many will know your peace and love, and have a certain hope for the future. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now, Connie, you have a treat today because you've got Rowena and, is it Josie you're helping Rowena? And you're going to be doing something which we'll see in a bit. And it's going to be good. And it's going to be something to give us encouragement, I believe. So let's pray a blessing on Connie and Josie and all our children. You're representing all the children of our church today, Connie. Father, we thank you for Connie and Liz and Paul being here with us. We thank you for open hearts, open eyes, open ears. Pray you bless Rowan and Josie and Connie as they meet together. So we know you will be present there. And we pray for all our children, that they may know you love them and they may lean on you. They may pray to you. They may hear your voice through this difficult time. Give us those words of hope. Amen. So, upstairs you go. Great. And we'll have our reading, Jean.
Right, our reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and it's on page 1188. It's beginning at verse 13. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever.
Thank you, Jean. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Last week, we heard about how Paul and Silas went to Thessalonica and preached that Jesus is the Christ, the one they've been waiting for, the Saviour of the world. Some of the Jews and a large number of God-fearing Greeks and not a few prominent women. It's a wonderful phrase, isn't it? Not a few prominent women, a lot of prominent women were persuaded that this good news was true and a new church was formed. David told us about how Paul had to leave Thessalonica really quickly, very abruptly, and so they were left with very little external support in the midst of persecution. Paul wants to help them, to encourage them, to give them courage. That's what encourage means. So he writes this letter, first letter to the Thessalonians. Now, one of the things that this particular church is worried about is that some of their brothers and sisters have fallen asleep. They've died before Jesus has come back, because they expected Jesus to come back any day. So what has happened to their brothers and sisters? Husbands, wives, brothers and sisters in Christ, but their husbands, wives, children, parents. Have they missed out on heaven? Will they be left behind when Jesus returns? They don't know. They're grieving the loss of their loved ones, and they're also fearful for their eternal destiny. So what is Paul's approach? And I really love it. Paul tells the truth, simply, clearly, unequivocally, boldly. Those Thessalonians who have died, who've fallen asleep in Christ, who through faith in Christ have been born again as children of God, will rise first when Jesus returns. Then all those members of the church who are still alive will be caught up together with them and meet the Lord in the air. And we will be with the Lord forever. Paul says we because this truth includes him. And it includes all believers for all ages. How about us? Are we worried about what has happened to those who have died? Are we worried about our own future? As we were praying before the service, God dropped that phrase into our prayer meeting. Are we prepared to meet our Maker? There are many around us who are grieving the loss of a loved one and who are without hope. Our loving Father doesn't want us to be without hope. He doesn't want us to be ignorant of his plans for his saints, his holy ones, all those who trust in Jesus. And that's why we have God's word. I quite often meet with people, particularly this since March, we've had a number of funerals or different services, events, where I've met people who have lost loved ones. And you've probably heard the same as I've heard. People say things like, "He is looking down on us," or "She is looking after us." And it's a very natural response of those who are trying to deal with the grief and uncertainty of loss when a loved one dies. Our Father knows what we are like. But he doesn't give us false hope or nice ideas. Instead, he gives us a certain hope and the truth. We will be with the Lord forever, if we want to be. I'll say that again because it's really important. If we want to be with the Lord forever, we can be. And we will be, through the cross and through the resurrection of Jesus. Those who have died in Christ, believing in Christ, are described as falling asleep. Because this is one way of trying to understand the mystery of how they are waiting for Jesus to return, just as we who are still alive are just waiting for Jesus' return. It is a mystery, and I have certain ways that I've sort of formulated for myself to try and come to terms with it, but ultimately it is a bit of a mystery, or a large mystery. But we're told here that only when Jesus returns will the dead rise. Those who have died are not looking down on us from heaven, because they haven't arrived there yet. The today that Jesus spoke of to the criminal on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise," has not yet come. It is a mystery that we need to reflect upon. But just consider the word that God gives us in the Bible. He tells us that there is no sadness, there are no tears in heaven. Who believes that that's true? Right. our loved ones are not sitting in heaven seeing what we are going through without them. How could they not cry if they could see our tears? How they could they not be sad if they would see us struggling and not be able to do anything about it? God's promise is that we will be caught up in the air with those who have fallen asleep. And so we will be with the Lord forever. And that's all of us. Saints alive on earth and saints who have fallen asleep, waiting for that day. Now, some people go much further than nice thoughts, nice ideas, or clutching onto things that they hope are true. They say it's possible to contact those who have died, and they offer even to help people to make connections. And it is a cruel deception of the enemy, using ordinary, often very well-meaning people who are sincere, but who are sincerely wrong. And it is very dangerous. Someone told me the other day of someone who'd been held captive for 20, 30 years to a voice of a loved one, who of course wasn't their loved one at all, but was the enemy. God makes it clear that there is a chasm between those on earth and those who have died, and we're not permitted to cross it. You want to look at that? You can look at that in Luke chapter 16, as Jesus talks about the other Lazarus. So let's do what God says and encourage one another with his word of truth. This is a really important reason why we should be reading God's word, believing it, receiving it, remembering it, and sharing it. There are still some of the daily bread notes that I think Sue puts on the table outside, which Leslie and I have been using each day. And whatever it is, it's just great to have something each day of God's word to receive and believe. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. God encourages us and God comforts us. And today is a day particularly when we're thinking about his comfort. He comforts us with the truth about our loved ones, and he comes alongside us with strength. That's what comfort means, with strength. He comes alongside us in all our troubles. He is devoted to us as a loving father. He also wants to comfort others with the comfort we ourselves have received. He wants us to pass it on. God uses human comforters a lot. Leslie and I heard an interesting account on Tuesday on the breakfast show on Radio 2. Don't know if anybody heard it. A guy called Vic. He and his wife lost their baby child at 5 days. They were warned that the child might only live a few seconds, minutes, but they had 5 days with their child. And in order to deal with that loss, in a safe place, to give him some help, he joined a local football team. And apparently there are 40 of these teams across the country. They're made up of dads who have lost children. Some dads talk, some dads don't talk. But being alongside somebody else who understands is a help. And so that's a question for us, isn't it? How can we come alongside others who are grieving in these socially distanced times? When there's a phrase that Henry Nouwen quoted, which is wounded healers. Jesus is a wounded healer. He was wounded and he brings healing. But we ourselves, we are wounded people. But we can be instruments of healing that God can use for others. Our very things we've gone through actually enable us to comfort others because we've known what it means to be comforted by God. We need, particularly this time, wisdom and creativity from the Holy Spirit to help us come alongside others. Whether it's getting zoomed up again for the prayer meeting, or whether it's recording things for Sunday, whether it's phoning somebody, writing a letter. Who recently has written a card or a letter to somebody else? A few hands up. Andrew wonderfully gave us a whole lot of cards. They're still out there on the right-hand side, somewhere on the desk, one of the desks. They're still there. I don't know about you, but I look for the post in the hope there's something real there, rather than Domino's pizza takeaway or anything else. Or do you want, you know, another thing for your garden that, you know, whatever, or do you want to buy something else that you can't use at this time? But when you get a handwritten card, what a blessing. So if you haven't done it already, take some of those cards and send them out. But let's allow the Holy Spirit to show us how to comfort. Many are approaching winter now with a feeling of loneliness and sadness. And yesterday's news will increase that. Last time, we were in spring. This time, we're heading for winter. People need encouragement that they will get through this. You will get through this. Not mere platitudes, not nice ideas, but God's true word of comfort. Fred Platt, one of our congregation who used to sit roughly where you are, Liz, and I thought to myself as coming towards this service, you know, I'm thinking of Fred who's either here or the seat behind you. He's not here. It's one of the things actually is good about sitting in the same chair every week. I don't advocate it as a good thing, but it does have its benefits because I can picture people. But Fred was here and he's gone. He's fallen asleep in Christ. But at his funeral, we had his favourite psalm and his favourite hymn in one, Psalm 23. And this was written by a man who experienced the loss of a new baby, which is David. Goodness and mercy all my life shall surely follow me, and in God's house forevermore my dwelling place shall be. Didn't need to preach much of a sermon at that funeral service, because it's all there, isn't it? We all need goodness and we all need mercy for when we mess up. And they'll follow us every day of our lives, God clearing up the messes. And in God's house forevermore my dwelling place shall be. This is truth. It's not a nice idea. It's much more than that. This is truth. Hopefully all of you have got one of the... I've got it here somewhere. Not sure if I put it here. Who, can you hold up your little booklets? Ah, yes, there we are. Have you got one there? Thank you. Yeah. If you haven't already got one, you should have two. Because the aim is that you receive comfort from these words of hope when times are tough. None of us need to be brave in the sense of I don't need help. We all need words of hope when times are tough. But may I encourage you to receive them, and may I encourage you to give at least one away. That's what they've been given to you before. We receive them and we give them away. You're going to have to get creative. Leslie's thinking of someone to give one to, and it was at a meeting that may not now take place. And you've got this, you've got till Wednesday. In meetings, individually, you can post them to people, obviously. You can put them through people's letterboxes. But let's be those that receive God's hope and pass it on. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would come alongside us by your Holy Spirit today. Speak to us today. Comfort us today. We give you all our troubles and our sadness. And we receive your comfort. Help us also to sensitively, gently offer your comfort to others, speaking the truth in love, giving a reason for our hope. Amen. We'll have an opportunity to pray in a little while and to remember. And Connie will be coming back to us at the moment to show us what she's been doing. And while they're finishing up there, we're going to do our next song. Christ is the world in which we move. Everyone around us belong to him. He's concerned for them. God's desire is that no one should perish, but everybody come to repentance. And so this is a song that again expresses God's heart. Feel free again to sit or stand. Thank you. Could you bring it up, Connie? And if you could reach up, if you could put what you've got in your hand, in fact, both of them. Could you come up here? Could you bring up just up here in the front? Come on up. Can you come on up? That's right. And turn around and show what you've got. So put your hand, the right hand up first, so we don't knock it. What's this in here? What's that there? Tulips. But where do tulips come from? Do you know?
The grass.
The grass. Well, they do. They come out the ground. What's in your left hand? What's that? Soil. Compost. And what have you put in it? Do you know what it is? It's a bulb. The flowers that were there have died back, and what's left is a bulb. And we planted a bulb in the soil, and next spring, you can see what we've been talking about. Those who have died have fallen asleep in Christ and will rise again. Thank you very much, Connie. Yes, give a round of applause for us for being brave enough to come up the front as well. This is an opportunity to express our sadness at the loss of our loved ones and members of our church family, as a church family. We can give him all our emotions, anger, disappointment, loneliness, fear, anxiety, because he understands all of those and more, and he cares about us deeply. We may feel relieved that someone is no longer suffering, or that we don't have to watch them suffer. We may feel guilty that we're feeling relieved. So let's, in this moment, give all our emotions to him and receive his rest and peace. And as we have a moment of quiet, we're going to have a song called The Lark Ascending. And it's a sense of, well, a lark ascending. And there is that sadness, here, but there is also that certain hope. Ian always asks me, what do you want for the title of the service? And that's our title, Ian. Certain, a certain hope. Psalm 62 says this, "Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope come from him. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge." I'm just going to bring the names of some who have fallen asleep, who I've been asked to bring and who we know. And there'll be others that you know of. And in this time of the song playing, just give them to the Lord. So our brother Fred Platt and Wilf Archer, Bill Farr and Howard Lehman, and our sister Barbara Pollard. Also mindful of Geraldine Noddy, Diane Hutton's sister. Let's have the song now, if we may, and give the Lord your prayers. Let's take a bit of time now to pray for others who are grieving and going through these same emotions, perhaps without hope and without God's comfort. Some may have been grieving for many years. Some know their loved ones are asleep in Christ. Others don't know and are trusting in God's mercy. So pray either out loud or quietly. Sybil's son about to have an operation. And Lord, we know there are many who are facing health difficulties and not sure whether they will have the treatment they need and what's going to happen. Lord, we pray for all those in fear of their lives or one close to them. Lord, we pray that you will shine into their lives, that you will be heard, your voice will be heard, your voice of comfort and assurance. We pray for strength and wisdom for those caring for the sick and suffering, and for those who come alongside, those who are grieving. Lord, help us to know when to speak and when just to be there. There are times when we just need someone alongside us just to be there. And there are also times when we need to focus on the future. And this final hymn, as we can bring our service to a close, talks about the wonderful future. And we sing, "I will sing the wondrous story." It seems very strange to have that as a title. "I will hum the wondrous story." Others will be singing for us. And thank God that these songs are available for us to play today, because others have composed them and they've made them available to us. So let's join together in declaring our trust in the Lord. "I will sing the wondrous story." Hallelujah. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. And now, for the last time for a few weeks, let's take the opportunity to bless one another with the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. And the ones we love. Amen. If you'd like to look at the pictures, do so. Thanks again for Jimmy and Kate being with us.